Hello and welcome to another installment of On Place, a critical exploration of tourism. I'm your host, Julie Pellegrino, and today our topic is Machu Picchu, ecotourism or exploitation. I've been interested in Machu Picchu since I was a kid. The legend of a forgotten city and the stories of human sacrifice always fascinated me. Now I'm more interested in looking at how mass tourism has impacted the environment and the local communities in the area surrounding Machu Picchu. This site is the biggest tourist destination in Peru and a major source of income generation both for the Peruvian government as well as the town of Aguas Calientes, the closest to the site. The site creates employment opportunities for locals as porters, guides, hotel workers, and food service employees, bringing foreign capital to the region. In 2017 alone, 1.5 million tourists visited Machu Picchu. It is the key attraction of a tourism industry that contributes $7.6 billion annually to the Peruvian economy and forms 3.9% of Peru's national GDP. Visits to this Asian site are often framed as ecotourism, but is this title fitting? Today we're going to critically examine the sustainability of tourism at Machu Picchu. To give you an idea of the general flow of our podcast today, I'm going to first give a little bit of background on the definition of ecotourism, then delve deeper into the environmental, social, and economic consequences of mass tourism at Machu Picchu. We're going to finish with an evaluation of the sustainability of these practices and give some recommendations for the future. Let's get started. If you go to any major website advertising tours for Machu Picchu, you're bound to see the word ecotourism pop up. With the growing conversation about a lack of sustainability within tourism, ecotourism has become the fastest growing branch we've seen over the past few years. In their piece, Ecotourism and Authenticity, Getting Away from It All, Weston Carrier defined ecotourists as people who travel to enjoy features of the environment among attractive exotic people in ways that are responsible environmentally and beneficial socioculturally. According to the authors, ecotourism should 1. Protect and benefit conservation, 2. Benefit, respect, and help empower local communities, and 3. Educate as well as entertain tourists. So now that we've defined ecotourism, let's take a look at Machu Picchu and see if it fits the criteria that West and Carrier have laid out for us. It's undeniable that the guided tours that are common for tourists serve the purpose of education and entertainment, but what about the other two goals of environmental conservation and empowerment of local communities? Let's more closely examine the recent evidence of environmental, social, and economic impacts in the area surrounding Machu Picchu. Let's first look at the environmental consequences of mass tourism at the site. The Peruvian and local Cusco governments have drawn global scrutiny for their lack of enforcement of recommended regulations over the past 25 years. As of pre-COVID times, the site drew up to 5,600 foreign visitors daily, more than double the 2,500 recommended by UNESCO. According to the Barcelona Field Study Center, major environmental problems associated with tourism on this scale include trash buildup on the site, slow erosion via tourist feet, compounded by natural events like rain and landslide, and issues associated with unorganized urban growth in the area due to tourism. The nearby town, Aguas Calientes, has experienced major growth as a result of the demands of mass tourism, but does not have the necessary infrastructure to handle such crowds, resulting in waste being dumped into the Urubamba River. Another issue that arises from mass tourism is harm to the indigenous animal populations. In their case study of Machu Picchu, Larson and Pudel assert that noise pollution from helicopters and other vehicular traffic led to the disappearance of Andean condors in the region. Current expansion of civilization and tourism infrastructure also threaten the migration corridors and mountain habitats of several endangered species. Now, let's take a look at some of the social and economic impacts of mass tourism on the local community. According to the Barcelona Field Study Center, the locals of Aguascalientes, dealing with influxes of tourists, have been forced to compete with visitors for services and facilities. This has led to inflation of property value and increases in prices within the town, leading to the displacement of the indigenous peoples who call the area their ancestral home. Additionally, while tourism has led to economic growth and increased job opportunities for local residents, there have been reports of mistreatment of the porters that tourists depend on to help them climb the Inca Trail to access the site. In Alexandra Orellana's journal article on the treatment of these porters, she argues that porters face issues including, but not limited to, suffering from lack of food, medical care, clothing, insurance, and mountaineering education, earning inadequate wages, being overloaded, and facing discrimination, racism, and exploitation by their fellow countrymen. Overall, while many proponents point to the job opportunities afforded to locals as evidence of the benefits of tourism, Larson and Puriel assert that the unequal distribution of Machu Picchu tourism profits have done little to help the plight of most Aguascalientes residents. In many cases, over 90% of gross tourism revenues never even reach the local community. Clearly, there are significant issues with the sustainability of tourism at Machu Picchu, but is the government doing anything to alleviate environmental and community-level stress? Let's take a brief look at a history of the conservation efforts of the site to get some context on the situation. In 1983, UNESCO named Machu Picchu a World Heritage Site, but tourism still remained relatively small in scale until Peru Rail constructed a line to the area in 1999, causing foreign travel in the area to explode. In 2011, after years of mass tourism, UNESCO recommended that the site limited visitors to 2,500 per day to prevent further erosion. However, this recommendation has not been followed. According to an interview with Miguel Antonio Zamora Salas, who is an administrator on the site, an average of more than 4,000 tourists visit per day in 2019. Additionally, many of the government regulations aren't strictly enforced, prioritizing profits over preservation. In the last few years, the Peruvian government has appeared to have taken UNESCO's warnings more seriously, and in 2019 implemented a new plan to improve the site's sustainability. According to Zamora, over the past year and a half, the site has instituted a policy of timed entries with a limit of 4 hours per visit. He states that, in the future, visitors could have as little as 1 hour. However, these plans are undercut by the plans to build an airport near the site, which could quadruple tourists to 6 million from 5.5 million a year, which would mean a lethal burden of 22,000 visitors a day, or almost 10 times the limit set by UNESCO. Additionally, when we look at the opinions of the local community with regards to Program Machu Picchu, or PMP, it becomes clear that some of these conservation efforts are divorced from the needs of the people who call the region home. According to Pellegrino Luciano's study of the region, his interviews with locals led him to the conclusion that conservation, as it is given experiential shape in Machu Picchu, is about the way accountability is diffused among many outside institutional actors, so that local participation is reduced to a passive receiving of plans and intentions on the part of experts. Luciano interviews Karina, a woman who lives in Aguascalientes. She states that, "I've lived here all my life, and this is the first time I've seen the head of Programa Machu Picchu. I don't think he has been here before, and certainly has never made an effort to get to know us." Karina declared, "You are threatening the pueblo. The voice of the pueblo is the voice of God." She concluded with, "I ask only one thing, that the PMP gets out of here." So what does this all amount to? For me, the word that comes to mind is slow violence. In Introduction to Robert Nixon's book, Slow Violence and the Environmentalism of the Poor, he defines this term as a violence of delayed destruction that is dispersed across time and space, one so gradual that it isn't seen as violence at all. According to Nixon, people lacking resources are the principal casualties of slow violence. Their unseen poverty is compounded by the invisibility of the slow violence that permeates so many of their lives. As we've established, tourism has had the insidious impacts of community displacement via price and rent inflation, and the environmental degradation of the Aguas Calientes area and the Urubamba River. These impacts are all forms of slow violence, creating negative outcomes over the long run for the vulnerable indigenous communities that surround the site without causing an international uproar due to their delayed effects. To see how tourism can be built in a more sustainable way that benefits local communities, let's take a look at a case study of the Caiapó of the Brazilian Amazon. According to Laura Zanotti's study, the Caiapó were able to partner with NGOs to sustainably build an educational tourism program for college students, using local knowledge to empower and protect the community. Zanotti says that the project design integrated closely the members of the Caiapó and their desires and wishes for the program, creating a form of ecotourism in which empowerment is central and local peoples participate in all decision-making. One key aspect of the sustainability of the program that Zanotti foregrounds is a small scale, so that tourist visit would not derail ordinary activities or result in permanent alterations to the landscape. Obviously, the tourism opportunities of the Caiapó and the Brazilian tropical forests and those at Machu Picchu are vastly different. The program that Zanotti describes was built intentionally with sustainability in mind. Well, this was not the case in Machu Picchu. Regardless, there are valuable lessons to be learned about how to maintain sustainability via foregrounding local concerns and knowledge and maintaining a small scale. In conclusion, in order to be able to honestly call visits to Machu Picchu ecotourism, I've identified several steps that will need to be taken. First, there is clearly a need for work to enhance local involvement in conservation projects, engaging local activists to illuminate localized needs and dynamics. The benefits of tourism that Machu Picchu draws should be going to the local community. The PMP needs to be reimagined with not just environmental, but community sustainability in mind as well. Second, there is a need on the part of the Peruvian government and the local leadership to enforce cultural heritage laws and comply with UNESCO recommendations. The plans for construction of the airport in the region goes directly against conservation goals and should be carefully considered in terms of the cost to the environment and to the locals. Hopefully, with the new plans for limitations on visitors combined with enhanced recognition for community-level consequences of mass tourism, Machu Picchu can be transitioned into a more sustainable site. That's all I have for you. Thank you so much for joining me today.